anyway, I know a lot of you know him. He passed away peacefully in the street, I think, through the night. Is that right?
I think he was struggling
for air. And anyway, so I don't know. I know he and Joe were they lifelong friends? John? Kind of envision a reunion going on this morning. So our heart does rejoice in it, and it's also sad that I know Nelson is in the presence of Jesus. He had a heart for God for sure. You know, Hans, you talked about a song that impacted you way back, and I don't know, I think you would have been in the choir there when we sang. There was a song that we sang in one of the tours, is My Heart, My Mind, My Body, My Soul. And then Frederick talked, gave that saying there. It's a song, I don't know, how many know the song? My Heart. Nothing, okay, I was just going to say it, let's sing it. It was that Noah Helm kind of at the start of this message. My heart, my mind, my body, my soul, I give to you, take control. Surrender your heart, your mind, everything to God. And, you know, one of the things as I get older, I think I realize how much of my mind is a battlefield. And how much I need to surrender my mind to the Lordship of Jesus. It's a surrender. That's what I want to pound into your heart. Just pound it into you this morning, is that our mind needs to be surrendered. So much of life, of how I view life, of how I view people, of how I view circumstances, of how I view, like, so much happens right here in my mind. And it's just, I recently trained two Choice Books reps again, and it's always interesting to me. One of the hardest things in training is to train a rep to think like you think. Like, I want them to be able to, like, there's so many thoughts going through as you're servicing a display, and thoughts when you're pulling off titles and when you're merchandising. There's so many different thoughts that go into that. And to try to, and you're doing it, and often a rep you're training, they'll say, well, just do it and talk to me as you're doing it. And so they're wanting you to communicate what you're thinking. And it's challenging to think that. And like Choice Books, one of their, like, over the years, retailers have fussed at Choice because they give their reps, they give them the freedom to choose what books to put on a display. It's not planogrammed from a corporate office. And retailers don't really like that because they don't feel like the reps have that ability to make good choices. What Choice Books sees it as a strength, because they're giving their reps the power to go to a Walmart in Jessup and service it a certain way with a certain clientele, and go to Hinesville and you have a complete different clientele, possibly, and they can tailor the product to adjust it. And so it's not all the same. So it's a strength, but they have to think in your mind. And I think maybe that's where this message kind of started, and just processing through that again. But we all have a mind which enables us to think. And I have a picture here of the anatomy of your brain. So that's kind of what's on the inside of your head. It's not the prettiest thing, right? squishy, mushy, wiggly thing. So that's probably kind of what you can imagine the inside of your brain is like. I know in school you learn a lot about the brain, those probably recognize those different things. But that's where a lot of life happens, right in there. But we all have a mind which enables us to think, feel, and experience the world in different ways. Our minds are constantly evolving and learning. As we grow and mature, we gradually develop thought processes and patterns which either remain constant or change because of varying environments and experiences. The Bible tells us God has a mind, and with the right practice and dedication, we can, to some degree, learn to think like He does. God acknowledges that our ways are different from His ways. In Isaiah 55:8, He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways." And then He goes on and explains what the difference is. "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As far as the heavens are from the earth in an immeasurable difference," the New Testament Paul tells us, "for the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Even if we were able to muster up a maximum in human wisdom and ingenuity with the best plans to succeed in life, God would tell us this is foolishness." Don't let that discourage you. That's just how big our God is. And that's how mighty He is. And I don't think God looks at us when we get it wrong and we act foolish. I think He chuckles more than He comes down on us. Right? I think we have to remember that as humans. Don't be so hard on yourself when you don't get it right. But God gives us a chance, and as we align our mind with His, learning to think how God does. So if Jesus called us love God with our mind, He said, with all our heart, soul, and mind, right? And I'd like to just think about our minds here and think today. You know, modern thinking, or is anybody here do yoga? I don't know what all is involved with yoga and meditation and all this stuff, but a lot of it has to do, I think, with kind of emptying your mind so that something else can take over. Christian people are the opposite. We fill our mind with the Word of God. We fill it with spiritual things so then that we operate out spiritual things. So we don't empty, we fill. But we have to be careful what we fill with. So I don't think our problem today, like we have a lot of things coming at us. We're not empty. Our minds aren't empty. In fact, the last couple months, I've done something twice that has kind of shocked me. One happened just the other night. I was coming home from Mary Lois's house. We were there for supper. And I was coming the back way through Odom. And it's a problem. I've traveled many times. I know there's a stop sign there at that one place. It's kind of out in the middle of nowhere. But most times you just stop. But I was going along there and my mind was way, I was not on my phone. My mind was not engaged in driving. I was thinking about other things. And all of a sudden, I mean, I was on that stop sign going 60 miles an hour. And it's just, the other way doesn't stop. It's not a four-way. I had to stop it. And I had just a split second to like that, and you knew nothing was coming, you were all right, but like, my mind was not engaged with driving. It happened in town, in Jessup, here a couple months ago. I did the same thing, went right through and stopped it. But my mind, like, it's distracted from what it should be thinking. And children, how about when you're in school? And you're maybe you probably don't have this problem as much, but we all can identify, like we're listening to somebody speak or teach, and our minds can be way off somewhere else, and all of a sudden they ask a question, and you're like, oh, what was that? Like you weren't even listening, engaged.
And so it's a challenge to keep our minds engaged where it needs to be. You know, I think every person, I don't care, Christian or not Christian, every person longs to have peace of mind. And that's when I talk about our mind being a battlefield, we long to have peace of mind. And that's why there's so much, there's a lot of wrong ways to try to have peace of mind that people deal with. And you know, drugs, alcohol, you can go down the list. It's like you look at it, it's a way to try to have peace of mind, how to deal and cope with life. And I remember as children, like when my children were young, I loved seeing a baby sleep. I like to go in and crib or bed where they were at, and I would just watch them sleep. The peace of a child sleeping is something to behold. But it's that peace. They don't have any worry in the world. They know that mom and dad are going to take care of them. And they sleep in peace. And I think that is just a picture of what every one of us long for. And if we could only believe that our God is so big and so strong and so mighty, I think we would sleep better. I know I would at times. So the Bible has some really good things to say about our minds and what we should allow our minds to dwell on. The most famous one comes from Isaiah 26:3. And I went about this a little bit different. So I need children engaged here. I'm acting like a teacher today. I'm going to give you a quiz here. But I have a multiple choice, and I want whoever has the answer first to raise your hand and tell me what the answer is, okay? Here we go. Everyone ready? All children engaged? Is it up there? All right. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace who has a lot of money, is very healthy, has their mind on God, or all of the above? Anybody have the answer?
C.
C, what does it say?
Has their mind on God.
Has their mind on God. That is right. Look what this verse says. Let's say it together. Say it with me.
Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee.
So, like, if you want peace of mind, we have to learn how to stay our minds on Jesus. How do you stay your mind on someone? So, if the language may be a little bit confusing there, I often hear you children after church or after nursing home or something, I say, can I stay at so-and-so's house? Or can I stay here while you go do that? You know, you want to stay with that person. And I think that gives us a picture of what God wants us to do. He wants us to stay with him. He wants us to stay near to him, to stay with him. You know, in the Old Testament, they had a city of refuge, you know, where if you did something bad or you were in trouble, you could flee to this city and you were safe in this city. And I think in the same way, kind of like this might be taken out of context, but we in our minds, like when you feel like whatever, like life is coming at you and you can't handle it, we flee to the city of refuge. And it's really how we stay like connected, we flee to the kingdom of God. Other words that could be in place of staying is wait, spend some time, abide, stick around, focus. That's how you stay. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. We're going to fill our mind with something. You might as well fill it up with good things, right? Because you can fill it up with junk, you can fill it up with ungodly things, and I promise you, you won't have peace of mind. Keep it simple. Keep it near the kingdom of God. But I fear lest by any means. Sorry, I missed one. Reading the living word of God. Listening to the living word of God and listening to the living God. living, sorry, I didn't left thoughts here. Reading the living word of God and listening to the living God of the word. Praying, aligning our mind and heart and soul with His. This is what staying means, and this is what will bring peace to our minds. You know, like, well, I'm not going to get there, but I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguile thee through his subtle, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So, my God is so big, it's simple. He's so strong, it's simple. My God is big. That's where our mind needs to rest. And you're just like your dad took care of you if you had a good dad. So, God will look after you and take care of you. If you trust God, then set your mind on Him. Fill your mind with knowledge, with imagination, and wonder. You will not have peace of mind until you have peace with God. All right, so I'm going to hit just a little bit on the carnal mind versus the spiritual mind. That comes out of Romans 8. What do we have here? Oh, here we have another question and answer. So we can answer this one. A carnal... In Romans 8:6, it says a carnal, or you could interpret carnal as fleshly, mind leads to, is it peace of mind, is it death, is it sickness, or all of the above? What you got back there?
Peace of mind.
Peace of mind? Good try, but in this case, that's not the case. A carnal mind leads to, it's not hard.
B and C.
Pardon?
B and C.
B and C, that could be correct, but it specifically says death. It doesn't say unhappiness or discontentment. No, it uses strong language. A carnal mind leads to death. So if you fill your mind up with carnal things, a couple of examples that we would read of carnal in the Bible would be Abraham and Hagar, Lot choosing Sodom, David and Bathsheba, Jonah heading out the wrong way, ended up in the whale, the belly of the whale. So a couple of Peter cutting off an ear, and you also read about it in Matthew chapter 7, where it talks about you're doing a lot of good things, prophesying, visiting the city, a lot of good things, but you're doing it for the wrong motive. That's carnal. So a spiritual mind, let's see what it says. In Romans 8, a spiritual mind leads to life, less stress, peace, or all of the above. It's too simple. Pardon? Life. This one here, I had actually arranged it where you could do all of the above. Because it does, that's right, it does say life, but it does bring less stress, and it does bring peace, and so I would say all of the above. So I guess, so a spiritual mind, when you think about a carnal mind, it's what gravitates towards your flesh, satisfies the flesh, and fulfills the desire of the flesh, and I'm telling you, it will not bring peace of mind. It's just like it says, it will bring death. But you think about spiritual things, you fill your mind with spiritual things. Allow the spirit of mind to control your mind, and you will find peace and rest. A spiritual mind is one that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How many of you can say that with confidence this morning? Everything that you're facing right now, you can face it. I can do it through Christ who strengthens me. Do you believe it? Mary, the mother of Jesus, had a spiritual mind at that first wedding in Canaan, when they ran out of wine. You remember that? And Jesus was present, and they ran out of wine, and she made this statement to the servants: "Do whatever he says." That is a spiritual mind. Do whatever he says. Confidence in Jesus. So one thing that has been interesting in our men's thing out here on Wednesday night, we've been watching a video series on, what's the title of the series?
Conquer
series. But they talk about our minds. And I've read up on this just a little bit to get myself in trouble here this morning. But it's interesting how patterns and pathways are developed in our brain. See, I showed that picture of the brain. But so we learn, so when we are faced with, so we learn this at a very young age. So if someone raises their voice at you and talks to you, why, we learn how to deal with that pain in our mind. And so we might, I don't know what we would do at a young age. We might, I don't know, whatever. And as you get older, we'll continue those same patterns. So if someone speaks ugly to us, we'll learn this pattern. And every time we're faced with that situation, we go down the same path. And that's our natural response to whatever we're facing. And one thing they bring out there is, like, a lot of people, when they're faced with whatever for men, they turn to immorality. And it's just one of those things. You're faced with it, and you deal with the pain by turning this, and you go down this pain. And we talked about how we have to reprogram our brain to think differently. And I think it's fascinating. So, like, one of the things I realized recently in myself, I was just telling my wife about it the other day, is that, so when I offer something, advice or an opinion about something, and I get pushback pretty hard, my natural instinct, and I don't know where I learned this, but I learned it, I think, many years ago, my natural instinct is to right away to retreat and move away from it. I'm like, I offered it, they don't want it, and so I'm going to remove myself from the situation. It's my carnal nature taking over. I have to reprogram my brain that when I'm faced with that situation, I will engage. I will walk into it with grace and kindness and mercy and love. And I'm telling you, it takes strength. It takes intentional thinking for me to stay there and be engaged. I just want to go, God. And we do that in some, like, you get someone that's depressed. You might turn to food. It might, all of a sudden your brain says, I need food. But I gotta go get food. And so you go get food. Or you feel overwhelmed. You know, like, we have all these patterns in our mind. And I think that's what Jesus is telling us, that the Bible is telling us, that we have to renew our mind. We used to think a certain way, and now we have to think like Jesus thinks. My God is so big, I can do anything through Christ who strengthens me. What if we would actually grab a hold of that and believe it and think it all the time? And I think that's why I want to encourage you with couples here with young children. I wish I had understood this more when our children were young, but the importance of developing healthy minds. I think there's something to positive thinking. Like, I used to kind of sneer at positive thinking, but there's something, like, our minds are such a battlefield, and the importance of developing healthy mindsets in our children. Not cocky, not proud, but also not, what's the word I'm looking for?
Defeated.
Keep going. Defeated, lesser than, like it's just not true. And like the importance of speaking life and truth into our young children and creating patterns that they will carry the rest of their life. Like, positive stuff. And, like, it's real. Like, I more and more see this stuff. And I'd like to just read. This was an article that was written. I don't know if any of you know Anita Beach. She is now Anita Shaw, Alfie Shaw's wife. But back in 2011, so 13 years ago, she wrote an article in a newsletter about reading a book, building a life. And I want to just read a couple excerpts from this article. Reading to a child provides a platform for healthy psychological and mental development. This includes so many ways that have tremendous long-term effects, such as touch and connection, hearing and comprehension, visual and perception. The list goes on and on. Another one, reading aloud helps lay the foundation for a healthy imagination. Through hearing the words aloud is enhancing cognitive skills and expanding vocabulary. It compels a child to create the picture movement of a storyline in their own minds. Picture books for younger children serve to build mind muscles. They are still screenshots, which allow a child to begin to capture the ideas of the picture being presented, but still make the child move their own mind as to how the picture comes alive. This is an area where a book enhances and a movie hinders. While a book encourages the mind to move, a movie makes all the movement happen for the mind. When you read a story, you have to build a whole world. It opens so many frontiers. The mind has the ability to create, to become broader and bigger, to imagine, understanding that we serve a God who is above all that we can think, makes us realize that imagination is important. If it is really above all that we can think, we should imagine. Let's use imagination as important and serves as a tool that aids us in broadening our scope of who is He. He is not limited to our finite minds. The danger of putting Him in our unimaginative, logical box puts tremendous limitations on the power He wants to release in our lives. Freedom of healthy imagination is also a tremendous aid in developing problem-solving skills, invention of new concepts, and out-of-the-box idea. Imagination is one of the greatest tools against ruts and stagnation, both of which occur when minds grow idle and spirits become lukewarm. Unlikely as it may seem, reading books to children that serve to enhance imagination also serve to enhance the reality in their minds that God is bigger than, and greater than, and stronger than. His creativity is limitless. If you question that, talk to Balaam's donkey, join Jonah in a whale belly, and Jonah's whale in the lot. Join Jonah in a whale's belly for a few days, or sip some wine that was water just moments ago. It does something physically to the brain. I'm just skipping over. Reading, it does something physically to the brain. Research shows that the electronic medium, in other words, the medium, the tool that it's communicating through electronically, literally changes brain development. It is physically retarding a good development of the brain. Where there is potential for good, there is always a potential for evil or harm. You need to balance and weed out what is good is going to be harmful. It is not progress if it does damage. No parent wants an electronically savvy yet intellectually impaired child. Without being shrewd in the days in which we live, it's likely to happen by default unless obvious steps are taken. It seems too simple a solution for a problem that is spiraling out of control. This is back in 2011. Taking the electronic medium out of this culture of children or monitoring it with vigilance and replacing that with books and parents who make time for them is, in that way, would give birth to a completely different culture. I encourage you to read to your children. The other thing that... you hear the left brain and the right brain thing, right? The left brain controls the right brain controls the left. The
left brain is where all the data is stored. It's like a computer, and so you fill up the left brain with facts. When you go to school and you learn all these facts about things, that's going into your left brain, and that's where you store it. So when you get to a test and you have to answer it, you can pull that fact out of there, and that's what the left brain does. Nothing wrong with that. The problem is sometimes we miss developing the right brain, which is imagination, creativity, and where most of your inventors, if you were to check them out, would be right brain thinkers. They're not held in a box. They learn imagination. They learn to think outside of just facts. And it's fascinating stuff that we can teach and that we learn how to think and imagine, because God is so much bigger. He's not just a factual thing. He's so much bigger than we can imagine thinking. So I'm not scared of someone who starts imagining about heaven or imagining about what God could do in my life or in our church or in our youth, you know, in our school. Like, what can God do? I think we need to imagine. We need to think. We need to dream. And I think Nelson would tell us the same thing just a couple hours in. Wow, God is so much bigger than I ever thought. He's so much better than I imagined. And he's so much more probably present and real in our lives than we even imagine. So, I don't know. Do I have anything else here? Oh, let's say this together. Especially pay attention to the first five. Let's say this with me. For though we walk in the flesh,
we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
If our thoughts don't align with what the promises of God, like the one promise we just read there in Isaiah 26:3, if it doesn't align with that, or that God can do more than we think, then we need to cast it off. We can take that thought and make that with you. Say this yet. Be careful for nothing,
but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I, dear brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise,
think on these things. What happens if you sin? Or what happens if you're not a good person? If you think you're not a good person? What did Jesus say? He said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. If you come in repentance and confess, he will forgive. It's just a simple truth. Believe it. Thank you for this. A little scattered. I had a hard time bringing my mind into subject for this message. Is that song in our songbook? The first verse of it. What was that? Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Is it? Maybe stand and I know it's late. I'm gonna ask you. So, what I would like to hear some input. What do you do to stay your mind on Him on a daily routine? What do you do? Is there music played in the classroom as you guys are studying? Julie, I think you're the only teacher here this morning, right? Oh, this morning, I didn't see it. Wait, have you ever studied that, the effects of having like classical music playing?
I haven't studied it.
It has some impact, right? To order a child's mind.
and to think clearly. It's, I don't know, it's interesting. The mind is interesting.
Yeah.
It hasn't been worded for years.
Yeah.
But, okay, listen to me. Anybody else?
Yeah.
Read the word before you read anything else.
Read the word before you read anything else.
Thoughts that come, processing, and share those ones that don't get to say them. Like, I know maybe the amount, maybe whatever, but like, some stuff just needs to be.
But that takes, that's being able to process what's true and what's not true.
Yeah.
Based on what God said, His promises.
I pray without ceasing. Just be in those moments, little flare prayers, just in those moments, communicate with God throughout the day.
Without thinking negative thoughts, praise. First, God will keep him in perfect peace. I like to think that the rest of it, whose mind stops at God.
Stops at God.
That brings trust and peace.
Yeah.